Today is Palm Sunday. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Time of rejoicing.
Yeah.
People worshipping and thanking Jesus for coming in.
Yes.
But we're going to look at that in more detail. Praise God forever and ever. Are you glad you're here?
I am.
Oh, that's about four of you. I said, are you glad you're here? Good, good. Gentlemen, you men that can climb ladders, Friday morning, we're going to dress the cross. I have a crown of thorns, and I have a purple drape to drape over it. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to gather around the cross. And we're going to sing a couple of hymns or songs and just worship the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're going to leave that up there.
Yes.
To declare.
Yes.
To the world around in intake.
Yes.
Jesus is risen.
Amen.
He's no longer on the cross, but he's risen.
Amen.
He's ascended and glorified.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Do you believe that? So we're going to need some help. So see Ray and we'll get together and sort things out for Friday morning so we've got it finished and done before 11 o'clock. Amen? Sounds good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then we have Easter Sunday service at 3 o'clock on Sunday. There is some bit of information here if you want to remind you. But 11 o'clock on Friday. Who's available at 11 o'clock on Friday for church? Easter Friday. Should have a day off from work. Hallelujah. Sonia. Hello. Are you at school? No, there you go. So you're available. Praise God. Let me just see your hands again. Who's available? Glory to God. Good. We're going to declare.
Amen.
You know, we've nothing to be ashamed of.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. God is good to us.
Yes.
Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, please. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Starting at verse 1. And when they, this is the disciples and Jesus, had approached Jerusalem and had come down to Bethpage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with the donkey. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says something to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them.
Amen.
And immediately he sent them. Now this took place, what was spoken through the prophet, might being fulfilled, saying, say to the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid on them their garments which he sat on. And most of the multitude spread their garments in the road, and others cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road, and the multitudes going before him, and those followed after were crying and saying, Hosanna!
Amen.
Hosanna!
Yes.
To the Son of David.
Yes.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the multitudes were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and cast out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer." My house shall be a house of prayer. But you are making it a robber's den. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But the chief priests and Pharisees and scribes saw these wonderful things that he had done. And the children who were crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared perfect praise for thyself." And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Firstly, verse 2. Jesus sends two disciples and he says, "Go to that little village, and in that little village you will find a donkey, an ass, and you'll find a young colt." Wow. And he said, "Go and bring them." And he said, "If anybody says, 'What do you think you're doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs them.'" And he did. And he said, "Oh, fine, take it." Now then, interesting. Donkeys, asses, they need breaking in. You ever try riding one that never been ridden before? You know what's going to be happening? It's going to be jumping and bobbing and kicking. You miss it, yeah? You know. Hee haw, hee haw, hee haw. I missed you, didn't I? Yeah. And so these bring this little donkey, little ass, never been ridden before. And the disciples take their cloaks and they throw their cloaks over the top of them. And Jesus climbs onto this little donkey, this little ass. It never bucks, never kicks. It just carries on. Yeah. As if this is what's always happened. Yeah. It recognized who Jesus was. Yeah. Creation knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Mankind tries to ignore who Jesus Christ is. We think we're smart if we can ignore somebody. You know? But little children do it, don't they? You know? They stand there and they go, they do this. "You can't see me. You can't see me." People are doing it as adults. They think God can't see them. Says they'll do things in the darkness. And they think God can't see in the dark. Well, God created the darkness. He knows what's going on in the darkness. He knows what's going on in the light. He says no matter where you and I go, we can never escape the gaze of God. That's what it really means. We can never escape the gaze of God. God knows where you are. God knows what you're doing. He even knows what you're thinking. He even knows what you, if you start thinking about planning your meal. He knows what you're going to do. He knows what you've got to do at school. And if you put God first, put God first. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never let you down. Why did Jesus ask for the ass and the colt to be brought to him? He only needs to ride one of them, doesn't he? Why did he? Shall I tell you? No. I thought, well, from my experience, when I was in Poland as a teenager, I remember going horse riding. I love horses. Love horse riding. One of my passions actually was to actually own my own horse. But it's never happened, so that's okay. Maybe there's still time. Still time. Glory to God. Instead of riding a horse, I ride a motorbike. So, you know, doesn't kick as hard at times, you know. So, but I remember when we were riding these, there were two horses. One was about 16 years old and the other was about 2 years old. And they'd been used to pull carts, plows, farming equipment. And so they'd always been together. They'd always pulled together. So we saddled these two horses. These two horses are separate from one another. Two individual riders on them. And I was put on the young horse. And the older horse suddenly set off. And I'm just getting on the young horse, and that decided to... And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa! He didn't understand, whoa, 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 whoa. He just looked and he saw that one leaving and he said, I'm leaving too. Now, the thing that happened was that my friend on the older horse crossed the main road. He paused, looked both ways, and then carried on. The young horse didn't whoa, wouldn't stop. We got to the main road and he just went... And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, thank the Lord, there was no vehicles on the road at that point in time. When I got across the road, he was halfway down this field. And I'm, whoa, whoa, whoa. And this horse just took off. Because it, from its very young life, it had always been with the other one. And wherever that one went, I'm going to go. No matter who you are, I'm going to go with it. It got to a point that if there was a tree in the middle of the pathway and the older horse would go to the right, you know, imagine this, the older horse would go this way and walk on, you'd get old, you'd be on the younger horse and you'd be like, I'm going to deal with this. It's like, he would always go exactly the same way. What a challenge it was. In fact, at one stage it was running so fast after the other horse, I'd not got settled in the saddle, I just decided, I'm leaving. I'm getting off. So I just dove off this horse. I went tumbling in the grass sort of thing, and the horse is just carrying on. You know, and I'm like shouting, Andre, come back, bring the horse. So I can understand when Jesus takes a unbroken animal. And he just gets on it. And it is subject to Jesus.
Amen.
Everything is subject, believe it or not, to the Lord Jesus. So why were the two of them? The first one, the older one, represents the children of Israel. They'd had a king. They'd rejected him, Jesus. They'd rejected the Messiah. They didn't want anything to do with him. And as we all know, as the story goes on, they crucify him. The colt is representative of the Gentiles.
Amen.
You and me. Yeah. That we have accepted Jesus as our King.
Amen.
As our Lord.
Amen.
And as our Saviour.
Jesus.
And we've said, Lord, come and be Lord of our lives.
Amen.
So that is a represent what these two animals represent. The first animal represents Israel, who rejected their Messiah. The young animal represents the new kingdom of God, the Gentiles, you and me. Hallelujah. And Jesus decided that we were going to be part of his kingdom. We were going to be part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So praise his wonderful name.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom.
No.
You see, the Jews were looking for a king to come in, to draw his sword, and to drive out the Romans. Because they were being oppressed. They were probably looking for a few Gurkhas to give him a hand, you know. Come on. To drive out the Romans. They were being subdued. Many people at times think that Jesus came to re-establish the kingdom of David. He didn't. He came to establish the kingdom of God.
Amen.
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 Question. Which kingdom are we living in? Are we living in the kingdom of Satan, or are we living in the kingdom of God? The only way you know which kingdom you're living in is when you take Jesus and make him your Lord and your Savior. When you make him the very center of your life. When everything about you begins to revolve around Jesus, then you're living in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You see, it doesn't revolve around your children.
No.
Sorry, I know you love your children, but life does not revolve around your children.
No.
It revolves first around Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. And children, just remember, you're not the center of all things. And your parents are not the center of your life. They love you immensely.
Yeah.
But their love will never get you into the kingdom of God.
No.
Their decision to make Jesus Lord of their lives will not get you into the kingdom of God. Your dad can't suddenly say, well, you know, he's in front of Jesus and he says, well, Lord, he says, look, he says, there's my daughter here. He says, and I'd like her to come with me into the kingdom. That's what you'd like to do, wouldn't you? But if she has said, no. If she said, no, I don't want it. I'm not show of that, then there's no way can Father get her into the kingdom. The only person that can get this young lady into the kingdom is Jesus. And her relationship, her one-to-one with Jesus. Mum, you can't do it for her. What you do, you pray. You pray for them. You show them the right way. But they have to make their own decisions. You can't take hold of them and say, you will make a decision, or go on. You can't do that. Sometimes you'd love to do, wouldn't you? You know. You are going to get saved or I'll kill you. It's not going to happen, is it? You know. I want my children in the kingdom. Pray. 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 It's what changes things. Show them how to do it. Show them that the most passionate thing that you have in your life is Jesus Christ. Show them that when you pray, you get answers to prayer. Show them that when you lay your hands on sick people get healed. You see, I believe and I worship a Jesus who heals people. He's the King. He's the Creator. Amen. And so, He lives within each and every one of us. So that very same power is within us. Amen. Is available to us. We've just got to start stepping up to the plate. Yes. We've just got to start stepping up to that position. Amen. We've got to begin to take our authority. Yes. We've got to begin to show our faithfulness to the Word of God. Yes. And trust in the Word of God. Yes. That this Word will change. Amen. Circumstances and situations. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when the disciples laid down their coats on the back of these animals, they were saying, Lord, we're laying down our lives for you. Yeah. We're submitting to you, Lord. Yeah. And you and I have to learn that at times we have to submit to the ways and to the will of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy.
No.
It's not always easy to put Jesus first. But I do know from personal experience,
Amen.
If you want success,
yes, definitely.
Put Jesus first.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
If you want to be rich,
yeah.
If you want to be rich, you don't need two jobs.
No.
I'm trying to get rid of a job. Mm. We don't need two jobs to be rich. We need to learn to give to the Lord.
Yeah.
And as we give to the Lord, the Bible says He gives back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God does not want each and every one of us worn out. He wants us to be available for the work in the kingdom of God. Because God will cause you to be blessed. God will cause money to come. God will cause things to be that you suddenly get that are cheaper than you've ever bought before.
Yeah.
You think, wow. You see, Grace and I were sharing on Friday night with, I think it was Friday night, weren't it?
Yeah.
With Sonia. And we were sharing that I worked in industry. Had a great job. Fantastic wage. When I left university and went into industry, they said to me, you're the highest paid person from this university. God was blessing me already. I got the best paid job that anybody had ever had. They could not believe it. And I just like, well, I put God first.
Amen.
Ever since I was 16 years old, I put God first. I gave my gifts, my tithes, my offerings to God.
Yeah.
Do you know God has never,
no.
ever,
no.
ever, ever,
no.
ever let me down.
No.
I just think, wow. You see, I've had miracle after miracle after miracle. I've lost count.
Yeah.
God has never let Grace and I down.
Even when we went to 25%.
And I worked in industry and had a great job and big wage, company car, everything paid for. Just drive it. That's all I had to do. They filled up, I drove it. They filled it, I emptied it, they filled it up, I drove it. I emptied it, they filled it up, I drove it. It's great. When it needed fixing, they fixed it. When I wanted a new one, they got me a new one. Hey, this is great. 10 years went by doing that. And then God spoke to us one day and said, it's time for you to quit, to leave, and give me all your time.
Amen.
3 years before, we just moved house. We had a mortgage, and the interest rate... We had a big mortgage, actually. The interest rate, are you ready, was 17%. Yeah. You know, today people go, that mortgage, you know. It's like, what are you on about? I lived in the 17% on a big mortgage. I mean, it was tough in reality. But do you know what happened? I quit my job. And if, you know, if we do sums, if we put the numbers together, Grace and I had a wage together, and suddenly my wage disappeared. So this chunk disappeared. And now we were living on 25%, between 20 and 25% of the big picture.
Yeah.
We threw away 75% of our earnings. So, being a little bit smart, I thought, I know what we can do. We can put the house up for sale, sell that, and buy a smaller one, and be mortgage free. Smart thinking, yeah. So that's what I thought I was going to do. So I started talking to the Lord about it, and he flatly turned around and said to me, no, you're not going to do that.
Amen.
He said, I gave you that place, you're not going to sell it.
Amen.
Well, I said, who's going to pay for it? He said, I am.
Amen.
Well, I got the calculator out.
You know.
I said, it's red. It's in the red. Every month we're in debt. He said, trust me.
Oh,
trust me.
Yeah,
a few weeks beforehand, we were in church and we'd been asking the Lord what to do. And a man stood up in church and gave a word. He says, God is able to keep you in that that you are accustomed to.
Yeah.
And even greater.
Amen.
I remember those words. We were sat... two or three rows back. And I looked at Grace. I looked at Grace and I said, what do you reckon?
We did ask.
We did ask. We got an answer.
Amen.
Yeah? We got an answer. For the next 7, 8 years, whilst we were working, well, whilst we were sort of in a small church, we had 3 new cars. We never missed a mortgage payment. And we had money in the bank.
Amen. We were better off then.
We were better off then than when we were when we had this big lump of money.
Don't ask me how it
happened. We have no idea to this day how it happened.
We couldn't work it out.
There is no way can we, naturally speaking, work it all out. The promise was I am able to keep you in that you're accustomed to. I was accustomed to having a new car every 2.5 to 3 years. That's what the company did. Well, God did exactly the same. I was working for a bigger company.
Amen.
I was working for a better boss.
Yes.
I was working for the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And He's made a promise and He's faithful.
Yes.
To it. I just want to encourage you to begin to trust God more and more and more and more. Give Him first place.
Amen.
Welcome Him into your lives. As these people were welcoming Jesus on that day, they were shouting, Hosanna! 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 Our deliverer's here. He's come to set us free. Our provider is here. He's come for us.
Amen. He will provide.
Oh, they were really having a great time. And when Jesus came into the church,
yes.
He says, He healed
all.
The blind, the deaf, the sick, the lame. Jesus healed them all. When Jesus comes in the church.
Amen.
When Jesus wasn't in the church, nothing was happening.
No.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That when you read that, until Jesus came into the temple, there were no healings.
No.
But when Jesus comes in, healings start.
Amen.
When Jesus is present,
amen,
the supernatural begins to happen.
Yeah.
Things change.
Yeah.
Because the very God of very God is in the place.
Amen. Miracles.
The miracle working God is in the house.
Amen.
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 And He resides in each and every one of us.
Amen.
That's difficult to understand. That God wants to live with you.
Amen.
With you. With you. God wants to live with us. God wants to sit down.
Yeah.
And chat with us. Say, how you doing? How's your university going?
Cool.
Yeah. Whatever that means. Must mean it's okay. Must mean things are going well. Most things are going good. But God wants to sit and spend and have time,
amen,
a conversation.
Amen.
God's listening to you.
Amen.
But at the same time, God wants you to listen to Him.
Yeah.
It's this relationship backwards and forwards. Because God wants to be with you. God is so interested in you because He made you.
Amen.
Made you.
He made us
so we would come together in a relationship with Him. He wants to hear your voice.
Yeah.
He wants you to hear His voice.
Amen.
Yeah.
He does. Amen.
He sent His disciples out 2 by 2.
Yeah.
And He says signs, wonders, miracles, healings. Even demons were fleeing from the disciple. Are you a disciple?
Amen.
Are you a disciple?
Yeah.
Jesus came to have disciples, disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His disciples here, as they were marching and moving into Jerusalem, were rejoicing.
Amen.
The people... Everybody was for Jesus except the religious people.
Yeah.
The religious people were having a bit of a time, you know. They were stood on one side and they were like, I'm sorry, but who's this Jesus bloke? Who does he think he is? Huh? You know, and all this shouting and these people that I'm sorry, but we're going to have to do something about this, Bill. We're going to have to put him out and deal with him. What do you think? You agree? That's a good idea. We'll crucify him. Yep, I think we'll do that. You see, he's messing up with our services. He's interfering with the way we do things. Let's get rid of him. We've got to get rid of him. Do you know, I think some of the churches are doing it today.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of Jesus. We'll have a happy clappy and let's wind up the music and thump the drums as loud as we can and have some smoke machines and some flashing lights and, you know, and then we'll all go home exhausted and say, oh, fantastic that, weren't it? I had goosebumps. But did Jesus turn up? Did we let Jesus in the house?
No.
Did we let Jesus in the house? Were the signs, were the healings, were the miracles?
Yeah.
Did people make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and make him Lord of their life forever and ever and ever and ever? If not, Jesus is not in the house.
No.
The church belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't belong to me.
No.
Don't belong to you. We belong to him.
Amen.
We belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus
Christ.
I belong to
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name.
Hallelujah.
I always wondered why Jesus turned over the money tables. I always wondered why he drove them out. And I had an idea, well, it's because they were just selling sacrifices and things to offer to God. Well, they were. And that was okay. Except for one thing. And what the money changers were doing, they, it says, when you read your Bible carefully, it says they were changing money. They were currency exchangers. Whose head is on that coin? The Queen. So really, this does not belong to me. This belongs to the Queen. Yeah? You remember, they said, whose head's on the coin? Caesar's. Give to Caesar, which is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. Right? And what the money changers were doing, they were taking Jewish money and they were giving out Roman money. In other words, in the temple, they were making the temple a god to Caesar. A place of worship to Caesar. A place of worship, because on the coins, on the Roman coin, the head was the head of Caesar, the emperor. And so they were making the temple a place that worshipped Caesar. He chucked all the money tables over and said, get it out of here. This is the house of God. The house of prayer.
Amen.
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 That's why he turned over the money tables.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus is not against money.
No.
But when you put it before God, he's against it. But when you put Jesus first, it says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God give to you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And so Jesus turns over the money tables and cleans out the temple and says, this belongs to God. This does not belong to Caesar.
No.
This house this body.
Amen.
Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. You might think it's my body. I'm going to look after it. I tell you what, when you're sick, the doctor treats the symptom. He does not treat the cause. Many times. You've got a headache, take a headache pill. That does not treat the symptom for the headache. Does it? Treats, you know, it's not, it doesn't go to the cause of the headache. Just deals with the symptom, the headache. But when Jesus comes, he goes to the very root of the problem. Whatever the root of the problem is, Jesus goes to it. And snaps it off. Pulls it out by its roots. Amen? This is the Jesus. This is the God we serve. And so Jesus is coming along triumphant into Jerusalem. And everybody's shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're waving palm branches, throwing the coats on the ground for him to trample over his submission and worship to Jesus. 5 days later. 5 days later. The same people were shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Why? Because they wanted something natural doing. But he came to do something supernatural. God is a God of supernatural. He will touch the natural. But first, he's supernatural. And you and I have to move into that presence of God. You and I are spirit. That's the supernatural. Soul and body. God wants to touch your spirit.
Amen.
He wants to quicken your spirit. And when he touches your spirit, it will quicken this body.
Amen.
It will touch our minds. It will touch our hearts.
That's
and
right.
Souls.
Yeah.
It will change us.
Yeah.
People can be so fickle.
Yeah.
They can change their mind at the drop of a hat. Yeah. Somebody puts a bit of pressure on them. You're not going to do that, are you? You know, and they're just leaning on you. Or they're mentally pressurizing you to do something. This happens at university. I know this for a fact. I've been to university. I did it. Lads would go out drinking during the week. Come on. Just have one. One leads to two. Two leads to three. Three leads to four. And after that, who knows? I made a decision, Dilip, that I weren't going to join them. I was ridiculed first. Guys, they looked at me and said, oh, he's a Bible basher. I don't care. In our group, there were 30 guys in our class. They liked to make, there was three of us that were Christians. And they liked to make fun of us. So we just let them do it. But anybody outside the group who found out we were Christians and wanted to make fun of us, we didn't have to answer. Because suddenly, 30 guys stood up and said, excuse me, these are our friends. He's a Christian. Leave him alone, or you'll have us to answer to. And it's like, and they'd give our testimony to somebody else, and I'm like, whoa, 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 this is my testimony, you know. And when they were in trouble, I remember in the second year, one guy got into trouble, had a problem with his relationship with his girlfriend, didn't tell anybody else, but came up and said, Andrew, can I have a word with you? I need some help. I'm like, you know, you sort of get the impression they don't really like you because they think you're a freak. Tell you what, they respect you. They respect you. And when trouble hits the fire, when things start getting difficult, they're going to come looking for you. I need to look for somebody who's stable. Somebody who knows where the answers are. That's what they're looking for. You won't find it on an iPhone. You won't find it on the web. The answer's not there. The answer's in a one-to-one with Jesus. The world is searching. But it's looking in all the wrong places. Today the world will be laughing. Easter comes, and what do we get? Easter eggs. Chocolate eggs. But you start talking about, do you know the reason for why Easter exists? What we're celebrating? And they look at you and go, Easter eggs. You go, no. We're celebrating the death and resurrection and the forgiving of sins for all of mankind. That's what we're actually celebrating, new life. I've been forgiven. Have you? Yeah? Have you been forgiven? You know, I can make a mistake today and God forgives me. See, God looks at you and me and he says, you're forgiven. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. We're set free. See, the children who were around the temple were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. These were receiving Jesus. But as I said, the adults, the religious people, 5 days later, crucify him. Crucify him. Let's hatch a plan and get rid of him. He's causing upset in the temple. It's causing problems. If it had come with a sword, if it had come with an army, they'd have welcomed him to drive out the Romans. But he came to do a greater job.
Amen.
He came to do something far, far greater. Yes. And that was, he came to touch you and me.
Yeah.
2,000 years later.
Yeah.
He came to give you and me life. 2,000 years later.
Thank you, Lord.
What a wonderful thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
Jesus came into Jerusalem rejoicing. The people rejoiced. He came as a Prince of Peace. He didn't come with sword. He didn't come on a mighty white horse as a victor.
No.
But he came as the Prince of Peace. He came as my peace.
Amen.
He gives you peace. Every time we stay in closer relationship with Jesus, he gives us that peace. That peace resides within us. And we trust him every day. And there's a song that we used to sing. And it goes like this. You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of Righteousness. Angels bow down before you, worship and adore you, for you have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ, the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus, the Messiah, he reigns.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus reigns. He's the King of glory.
Yes.
And the King of glory is coming in.
Yes.
Do you know, church, we need to make sure every time we meet, we welcome in the King of glory.
Yes.
We welcome in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, as we were worshipping earlier on, I just felt such a presence and such an anointing.
Yeah.
At one stage, I thought, I'm going to fall over here.
Amen.
There was such a flow of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Because we put Jesus first.
Amen.
Because we allow Him to be the Lord of the church.
Yeah.
And I believe that as we get back into the building, things are going to begin to move and going to change. But the change is when we stay focused on Jesus, when we put Him first,
Amen.
And when we begin to pray.
Yeah.
There's
Amen.
Power in prayer.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you, join us in prayer.
Amen.
I don't care what language you pray in.
No.
Prayer changes things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise His wonderful name. I trust you've been blessed and encouraged.
Yeah.
And I just pray that as we just seek God together in the future,
yes.
I believe God wants to change things.
Amen.
I believe that God wants to up the tempo of things for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
I believe God has an anointing, a gifting for each and every one of you.
Yeah.
And God wants to see you fulfilling that. And you know, that will be the happiest time of your life.
Amen, it will.
That will be the happiest time of your life. Everything just going for it because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Fantastic, you know. People said to us, when I gave my job up and went full time for Jesus, they said to me, Bimler, they said, all these holidays abroad that you're having, forget it. That's over and done with. That's what they said to me. Do you know something? We ended up travelling more times across the Atlantic than we'd ever done before. One year we flew four times to the USA. I'm like, you know, we ain't got no money. 1 year we flew for £50 to the USA. Glory to God. The plane was empty. You know, it was a case of great, you know, there were these middle seats and we just went, night. Off we go. I tell you, God is so good. God wants to bless you. And it's not how much have you got in your bank,
no.
It's how much does God have.
He owns everything.
He owns everything. What He wants for you, He wants you to put Jesus first. And when you put Jesus first, everything else is being sorted.
It will be there when you get there.
You know, you and I always want to have the money. Are you threatening your daughter? Oh, you and I always want to have the money. You know, we've got to have it to be sure, haven't we, you know. Sometimes God's 1 minute to midnight. And then He turns up and says, here you go. And gives it to us. You know, you could have done it earlier, Lord, couldn't you? You know, I mean, He says, trust, learn to trust me. Learn to trust me. Learn to trust me, He says. I'm always there, He says. I'll never, ever leave you. Does He? He never leaves you. He's always there. Father, we just pray right now for Lord, for that anointing just to reside afresh. Lord, as she's given so much out for You, Father. Father, I pray You just pour in. Fill her, oh God. top of her head to the soles of her feet. Just fill her, oh God. Fill her, Father, by your Spirit. Jesus. That's right. Drink. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. He's the King. Rest in his presence. Rest in his presence. Rest in his presence. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord would say to you that the seeds that you have sown shall bring a mighty increase. And as you have sown those seeds in faith, you shall see your reward in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep Jesus in the house. Let's keep him close. Let's keep our relationship strong. And let's together let these people around this area where we're involved see Jesus. Let them see the power of God. We want to be a church with a difference.
Yes.
We want to be a church that puts Jesus first. We want to be a people who hear the voice of God.
Yes.
And we affect the area
Amen.
Where we are living in.
Amen.
I want you as believers, I want every one of you to be able to minister under the anointing of God.
Thank you.
I don't want to be doing it all.
No.
I don't want you guys ringing up and saying, can you come and pray for us?
No.
Or come and pray for my neighbour. I'll come and pray with you at times. God wants you to do it.
Amen.
We, you, together
Amen.
Are the witnesses
Yes, we are.
To these Gentiles.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us break forth
Amen.
And shout, Hosanna.
Yes.
Hosanna. Hosanna. In the highest.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be praised. Thank you for being here.